Sickle toll-free call-in line. You can call in, talk about whatever you want to talk about, 855-450-3733. It's Free Talk Live. It's totally interactive, just like the website, freetalklive.com. Nimmy, we have brought in a story about seatbelts, and being a New Hampshireite, a Granite Stater, this is a subject close to my heart. So apparently there's, what, more people are wearing seatbelts in New Hampshire where it's not against the law to drive without them than...
This I pulled from the Union Leader, and it says New Hampshire seatbelt use is at all-time high. And like you, Mark, I'm a Granite Stater, and this is an issue that's close to my heart because every year the feds try to come in and give us $1 million to become the 50th state to make seatbelts mandatory, and we are the only state left that does not have mandatory use for adults. And the article here says... New Hampshire seatbelt use increased to a record high in 2011, according to the State Highway Safety Agency. A survey of 20,000 vehicles found that seatbelts were used by 3 out of 4 occupants this year. The 75% usage rate compares with 72% last year. When the first annual survey was taken in 1984, seatbelt use was at 16%. Now, this compares to our lovely neighbor to the south, where in 2008 they had a compliance rate with a secondary law, meaning that you could be ticketed.
Many states, yeah.
Pulled over for something else, you could get an additional ticket for not wearing your seatbelt.
Right, a secondary state means you can't be pulled over for not having your seatbelt on, supposedly.
right.
And but if you are pulled over and you don't have your seatbelt on, they can give you a little bonus ticket to go with your first ticket.
Right, exactly. And with this secondary law, in 2008, Massachusetts compliance rate was at roughly 68%.
So what's the difference here? How much? Between Massachusetts and New Hampshire?
Massachusetts has a law, 68% in 2008. And
okay.
New Hampshire does not have an adult law, and 75%.
In this year?
This year.
Okay, so compared to Massachusetts in 2008, they don't have apparently corresponding...
No corresponding numbers that I could find.
This is interesting. The numbers that they used here were occupants, not drivers.
Correct.
Because the best argument I've heard so far for seatbelts is that you have a obligation to other drivers to keep them as safe as you can by keeping yourself behind the wheel, and a seatbelt will continue to do that. So if you're flying through the windshield and over your hood, that you are a less safe driver. And I would agree with this, that you're a less safe driver than you are if you are one that is tied down to your seat.
And you can still control your car.
Theoretically, right?
Yeah.
And this is the best argument I've heard for seatbelts up to this point. However, the argument for passengers isn't nearly as good, as strong. I mean, at that point, you know, maybe you're a projectile, but that you actually have to hit them in order to be a danger to them.
Well, there's a lovely statistic right here in the article, actually. New Hampshire TSA says, research has found that seatbelt use can reduce the risk of fatal injury to front seat passenger car occupants by 45% and cut the risk of serious injury in half.
And you know, these are numbers that they use, and obviously the state tends to, you know, I don't trust their numbers entirely on these things. You know, I mean, you hear a lot of these anecdotal stories of people who say things like, well, you know, my grandfather was killed by a seatbelt, and you know, these stories that people will give about, you know, what happened to them, a loved one or their family member or something like that. And you can imagine if your mother or father was killed in an accident and was held in burned to death and held in place by a seatbelt, mm-hmm. how you would feel about seatbelts and the law requiring you to wear them.
See, I've been in crashes with seatbelts or without, and I'd much prefer to have a seatbelt on.
Yep. I wear mine.
I mean, I do. I feel naked without it.
Didn't you, Nimmy, have a story about being in an automobile accident with a seatbelt?
I was in an accident when I was 15, and the seatbelt came undone. I was not injured. Neither was my passenger.
But the seatbelt came undone.
Yes.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah. Yep.
But you know, the old seatbelts just came around your hips and didn't have the shoulder strap. And
that's just when you were a kid, Wayne.
Yeah, in the old days when I was a kid. And that was maybe a little safer than not having anything at all, but it was also dangerous in the sense because your torso could go forward still.
Yeah.
So when they incorporated the shoulder strap into it, it became a lot safer in most situations because everybody can cite a situation where having a seatbelt ends up being more dangerous or fatal.
I don't know when they switched to the lap and shoulder belt combination thing, but to me, a seatbelt was just a novelty when I was a kid. I mean, you know, you'd put it on just for kicks. Hey, you know, let's pull the seatbelt out of the crack in the seat and pull that out and put that on. That'll be fun. You know, on my mom's 71 Cutlass in metallic rust with the with the cabriolet top.
Yeah,
I mean, you know.
I remember those.
Now, do you, I'll ask you guys, do you wear your seatbelts now?
Yeah, I wear my seatbelt just about every time.
I do as well, so I guess I'm part of the 75%.
And Nemi, you know, what's really interesting is that the fact that in New Hampshire, you had mentioned earlier, that we have a higher percentage of compliance, even though we're not legally required to do it here.
Absolutely, and I think the biggest objection that I have to this is that every year the feds come in and say, for less than a dollar, we want the ability to ticket you.
And the stunning hubris of the statists as they continue on their march towards larger government. I mean, here in New Hampshire, the compliance, it may have taken a little while to get there, but compliance is higher than it is in some states where they're, you know, they're using the state in order to get what they want. And I think they're using some faulty numbers here in order to drive down the percentage rather than driving up, because, you know, they're actually saying this is passengers, not drivers, and not just passengers, but what occupants as opposed to just drivers. And I don't think that there's much of an argument that can be made from a standpoint of freedom about an occupant wearing a seatbelt. It just doesn't make much sense to me.
Now, additionally, Massachusetts is trying to pass a primary law, so police would be able to pull over a person just for not wearing their seatbelt.
Sure, more tickets. It's revenue.
Yeah, Natalie's bill this year. It's all in the name of safety, though, Mark.
Yeah, I went as a fire person going to the state house and told them that, look, you know, if you pass this law, I'm going to stop wearing my seatbelt as civil disobedience. And you know what? They didn't care at all. Let's go to Vince in Indianapolis. It's just about the revenue for them. Vince?
Hi. How are you fine people doing today, Mark?
All's well. What's on your mind?
And I can't remember the lady that was talking about.
This is Nimi.
I wanted to say something here. You know, school corporations don't have seatbelts in the school buses.
It is a strange thing that school buses manage to tootle all around without kids in seatbelts, and it makes one wonder, well, if these darn things are so gosh darn safe, why don't they put them in school buses?
Because the little bastards would be choking each other with them.
Well, there's that. But, Vince, that's a very good point. And every year, like I said, this comes up before the legislature every blessed year. And that point is brought up, and school buses and school bus manufacturers have come forth and said that kids are actually safer without them in school buses. Now, whether that's because they're not wrapping them around each other's necks while they're going down the highway, I don't really know. But
they're padded. Oh, the seats, the back of the seats are
they're
padded.
They're very,
now.
Very high backs.
When I was a boy, they weren't padded in the back. And when
it was metal.
It was
a nice bar right there where your forehead would hit.
Exactly.
Bluebird right across your forehead.
And somehow we live.
Exactly.
How did that happen?
this is the stunning thing that kids really don't get is, you know, I was climbing all over the bench seats in my mom's car, the Buick Century that she had that she got after the Cutlass. You know, this was a station wagon. I'd crawl from the back to the front. Sometimes I'd sit in the front seat. Sometimes I'd sit in the back seat. Whatever I felt like doing, that's what I did. There weren't any child seats when I was growing up. Nobody, we didn't use them. Vince?
No, I never did. I crawl all. I don't even wear seatbelts because I ride a motorcycle or ride a bicycle.
Now, Vince, I have a question for you that's somewhat related. Do you wear a helmet when you ride your bike?
Oh, yes, I do.
Is it mandatory there in Indiana?
No. There's no helmet law in Indiana.
I've actually heard of a politician, and this is just something I've heard. I've heard of a politician wanting to require seatbelts on motorcycles. I mean, you know, these people, they don't care about what the truth is on what's safe and what's not. They just care about the appearance of being a good legislator.
That had to be on the Onion.
Vince, thanks for the call. 855-450-FREE, SACL toll-free call-in line. 855-450-3733, Free Talk Live.
And now it's time for the Living Beyond Your Feelings Radio Minute, with tips and advice on controlling your emotions so they don't control you. Here's New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer.
You know, we all have a lot of feelings, but it's really important for us to understand that we are a lot more than just feelings. We have feelings, but we should not let them have us. They're only one part of our being. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Those feelings are part of our soul. We need to learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit, which is a deeper part of us than the soul, which is a more exterior part of us. Our emotions like to ebb and flow like ocean waves. They're up and they're down. They're here today. They're gone tomorrow. You can go to bed feeling one way, wake up feeling another totally different way. So surely you can understand how important it is to own your feelings and not let them own you. For the Living Beyond Your Feelings Radio Minute, I'm Joyce Meyer.
For more information to help you control your own emotions so they don't control you, please visit Joyce Meyer. That's MEYER.org. The average person has 70,000 thoughts every day, and many of those thoughts trigger a corresponding emotion. In Living Beyond Your Feelings, Joyce Meyer examines the gamut of feelings that human beings experience. She discusses the way that the brain processes and stores memories and thoughts. Then, emotion by emotion, she explains how we can manage our reactions to those emotions. Living Beyond Your Feelings, the newest book from New York Times bestselling author Joyce Meyer, is available wherever books are sold. This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Boost Kid Essentials Nutritionally Complete Drink, providing your picky eater with essential nutrition and great taste in one drink. Visit us at kidessentials.com. To make sure your kids eat healthy, follow the 5-a-day plan. Serve 3 servings of vegetables and 2 servings of fruit daily. Remember, a serving could just mean a piece of fruit or a half cup of veggies. If your kids are picky eaters, ask a nutritionist about other sources. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Attention military, law enforcement, recreational shooters, airsoft and paintballers. OpsGear is celebrating its 10th anniversary and you can save 15% on your order right now. OpsGear is your source for head-to-toe tactical gear for duty, range, field, guns, recreation and more. Check out clothing, knives, targets, optics and gun accessories, molly gear, vests, bags and packs, multicam, holsters, boots, police gear, training supplies and more. Or check us out online at OpsGear.com. That's OPSGEAR.com.
Wondering about your retirement portfolio? Is your financial advisor experienced enough to combat rising interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. With 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations, who needs sugar-coated excuses? Get the cold, hard facts and a proven investment strategy. For a free introductory copy to the International Forecaster, call 877-479-8178 or go to theinternationalforecaster.com. That's 877-479-8178. 877-479-8178.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriate e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Lives, live Wednesday edition. It's Mark,
Nemi,
and Wayne.
If you have a company that needs to try something new in the area of accounts receivable, SACL CAI can do it for you. The principal over there, Jason Osborne, is a big supporter of Liberty and a big supporter of Free Talk Live. So if you have a company, trust him and SACL CAI to take care of your business. Their banner is the top one on the right-hand side of the page at freetalklive.com. Let's go to Joshua in Oklahoma. Joshua?
Hi, guys. Great show tonight.
Thank you.
Two small things. I became a seatbelt wearer back before it was mandated by law. After sitting through a driver training program in college, I was going to deliver pizza. And the state trooper that taught it said, if nothing I said tonight means anything, just remember this. In 23 years as a state trooper, I never unbuckled a dead man from a car.
Oh, my goodness. So was this back when seatbelts were just lap belts?
No, there were lap and shoulder.
Okay.
I'm not that old.
Okay,
and,
just checking.
And his main point on safety was, he said, historically, if we can keep the passenger in the vehicle, they got a chance to survive. If they come out, it's over.
Yeah. Going out of the vehicle, there's a chance you'll survive, but it's not good.
Now, Kevin, let me ask you this.
Actually, Joshua.
Oh, excuse me. Beg your pardon, Joshua. You say you wore your seatbelt before the law was passed?
Yeah. After that training, I said, well, you know, if I can train myself to wear the seatbelt, if I can make it a habit, you know, safety matters, I'll do that.
Now,
I was able to do it.
What is the law where you live?
Well, right now it's mandatory. This was a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, some states have primary, some states have secondary, but, you know, frankly, if it's secondary, I wouldn't trust them not to pull me over for, oh, I thought your headlight was out, but well, I have you here. It looks like your seatbelt's not on.
Right, and how do you prove it? I mean, I don't know what the black box in my car records, but does it even record that?
I don't know.
Do I have a defense against it unless I have a witness?
You do if you have the GPS black box dash cam at freedomcam.net, which I do, which has a is going to audio and video record the entire interaction with the police officer, so they can't change their story. Oh, is that how you believe it happened, officer? Well, let me show you the video. Well, I didn't turn over my video cam to you. No, yo, I keep one of my own. Don't worry. And because you're a public servant standing on public property doing the public's will, you have no expectation of privacy, so there's no problem here. And so I always, you know, because I've got this freedomcam.net, I'm comfortable in dealing with these situations. So what was the other thing, Joshua?
Well, the other thing was the politician who wanted to put seatbelts on motorcycles.
Yes.
I can state from experience similar to that, but not exactly the same, that strapping 400 pounds of hot steel and gasoline between your legs is a bad idea.
Yeah, it's a bad idea. As I understand it, thanks for the call, by the way, Joshua. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
As I understand it, Honda is actually working on something that would be some kind of better version of this, and I would trust a manufacturer to come up with something better. I'm sure that it won't be mandated right away. Now, this story, I'd like to qualify this story that I have told here. I heard my dad, who was a member of the sheriff's department in my town, talking to another friend, talking about some legislator who was silly. And so I kind of, you know, sometimes people will just tell anecdotal stories. So maybe he heard it from some other, you know, sheriff or something like that, and he was relaying the story. So I don't know. I've looked online, and I've sort of found other stories of politicians doing this, but I haven't found this, you know, in 1979, Laura Perkins, legislator in Georgia, proposed da-da-da. Like, I haven't found that story, and I did look. So this may be a meme that traveled around, an urban legend that trampled around at some point or another, but I just find it difficult to imagine some politician somewhere didn't think that this was a bright idea. Let's go to Kevin in Indianapolis.
There we go.
There's Kevin. Nimmy's waiting on you, Kevin. Kevin, are you there?
I'm here. Just waiting for my intro there to get a word in. No, the gentleman that called earlier about the buses, it is mandated in Indiana now that the buses have seatbelts. Whether or not the municipalities are enforcing it and actually going back and retrofitting is another story. I'm not sure. But the main thing I wanted to point out about everything anyway is we're paying for these buses that are just so ungodly costly. And I had a situation where we had one student that went 40 miles. He was an athlete. Now, it's bad enough that we're paying $10 million for a football stadium that's used a few days out of the year. But they're paying for this individual to ride a bus, a huge bus by himself, because he's an athlete. And I really believe that there's so much cost. They need smaller buses to begin with. And, you know, parents need to think about getting their own kids to school. and especially sports, if your kid's playing sports, that should be on your dime, not on my dime. And that's the main thing about buses. And then majority of the buses in the state of Indiana, if you really inspect them, they're unsafe to be on the road. So let's not worry about the seatbelt. Why don't we just make sure that the bus itself is safe and they're not?
Well, what's unsafe about them?
Everything.
Generally.
The understructure, the tires. The tires is the main thing. The tires wear out. That's one of the biggest expenses. Then on top of that, here's another thing that's going on with these buses in Indianapolis. Some of the drivers are finding that they can go back to the schoolyard, take the buses, and rent them out to people at night for $500 or $600, and they drive them around and party with them. It's just unbelievable. We don't need them. We really
that
don't
is unbelievable. That's
yeah,
crazy.
And that happens. And I saw with my own eyes, I go get the bus, go over to the bar across the street, put keggers on it, and of course they were masking. They were taking duct tape and putting it on so you couldn't see the numbers, and then they drove off and party with it all night.
When I was a kid, I went to a private school from kindergarten through eighth grade, and you know the bus would sometimes come out to where I lived way out in the country, and sometimes it would come out there, and sometimes it wouldn't. And essentially, they would they'd send it out if it made financial sense, if the parents wanted to pay for it. And every parent would have to pay some portion of the ride on the bus. So if there were seven kids out that way, then, you'd pay 1/7 of whatever it cost to send the bus out there, and that's what people would pay. If somebody dropped off, then it's up to six. Do you want to continue to pay? If everybody at six says, okay, we'll do it, that's fine. But if somebody drops off, then it's five. And then everybody's like, yeah, it's not worth it to us anymore. Then three more of them drop off because it's not worth it to them. Then two of them are like, well, this is just too expensive. And the bus doesn't run anymore. So, I mean, they had a system for sending buses, or parents would get kids to school. As far as I'm concerned, that is a responsibility of a parent. And now with essentially schooling has become a right, which by a right that means it's an obligation of everybody else to provide it for you. If this is what they call a positive right, and it creates some kind of obligation. I don't think that I've got any obligation to support any other person on the planet. I'm happy to do so. I donate lots of money to lots of organizations. I consider, frankly, school to be a very, public schools to be a very inefficient use of money.
Well, you know what the graduation rate in Indianapolis is?
What is it?
35%.
My God!
Wow.
Yeah.
35%?
We're a big success story, aren't we?
Yeah, and I mean, this is what mandatory schooling gets you. This is what you're paying for, ladies and gentlemen.
Your taxpayer dollars at work.
Kevin, thanks for the call. 855-450-FREE. I mean, that's stunning to me. You could have to be able to do better than that with, having private school options.
Life Before the Collapse. Vinyl LP by The Las Vegas. Life Before the Collapse by The Las Vegas on 180 gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by The Las Vegas.
The Las Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Is your credit card debt out of control? Are you in over your head dealing with monthly payments? There's a powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, cutting your payments by up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. And we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt and lower your payments by up to half or more. It's yours free when you call today. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. Live better. Debt free. Find out how easy it is by calling for this valuable free information.
For the secret your credit card companies don't want you to know, call National Debt Relief today at 1-800-460-5733. 1-800-460-5733. This free information is available only for a limited time. Change your life. Call 1-800-460-5733 today.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild chaga and birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, 855-453. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line. You can call in, talk about whatever you want to talk about. It is Free Talk Live, after all. 855-450-3733. When you do your shopping online, please consider shop.freetalklive.com. You know, whether you're using Amazon or Newegg, a percentage of your purchase, you'll get the same prices, you'll get the same service, you'll get the same everything that you normally get by going through shop.freetalklive.com. It's just a Free Talk Live. We'll get a percentage of your purchase. So you'll get everything you want, and Free Talk Live gets a little bonus. It's easy. It's shop.freetalklive.com. Now, Wayne, we've got a story here about the Federal Reserve doing a little monitoring, and I hope they're paying attention to this broadcast, because here on Free Talk Live, we advocate the use of gold and silver as a barter currency, getting it as a hedge against inflation or an investment. Whatever it is that you wish to have gold and silver for, we advocate getting it. I, as a matter of fact, have quite a bit. And now's probably a pretty good time to pick some up. The rates are lower than they were last week, and you can get some by going to gold.freetalklive.com. And we have lots of pieces and coins there that are picked out so that you can compare and contrast to other sites. Make sure you get the best price. I'm confident that you're getting some of the best prices on the Internet from a dealer. It's gold.freetalklive.com, and you'll be supporting Free Talk Live in the process. Gold.freetalklive.com.
About 2 days ago, there was a story posted on the SH. I can't spell it out, but let's see, shtfplan.com blog about the Federal Reserve. They seek real-time monitoring of social networks, bloggers, forums, and influencers. It goes like this. If you believe Ben Bernanke and his merry band of money printers don't care about what you think, then consider the latest product development proposal from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York.
This has been floating around the Internet for the last couple of days, and I think it's a very disturbing and interesting story.
Yes, according to Request for Proposal 6994, the Fed intends to build a real-time monitoring solution capable of mining and aggregating data across social networks like Facebook and Twitter, alternative news websites and blogs, video sharing websites and mainstream media outlets. Not only do they care about what you think, they want to know exactly who you are, what language you speak, who you're talking to, and where you're getting your information, who you are sharing it with, and what your sentiment and emotional state is in reference to that at that specific moment. According to portions of the RFP, the Fed intends to collect, aggregate, and analyze data, as well as to us this information to direct their own actions and responses.
So the Federal Reserve is putting together some kind of computer program that's going to go out there and scour Facebook and Twitter for people who are talking about the Fed and that kind of thing, correct?
They want to know what's being said about them. They want to know where you're getting people are getting their information from. They want to know who those people are who are talking about the Fed. There was an article about maybe a year or two ago that they were hiring a PR firm because they were getting a lot of bad press about because of Ron Paul and the audit the Fed bill and so on. Looks like they're taking it a step further now.
Yeah, I mean, a PR firm would be one thing. Maybe this is what the PR firm decided. Now, you know, you would think that the PR firm would find out that people, you know, I mean, with people like Rick Perry running on an In the Fed platform and Ron Paul running on an In the Fed platform and questions during the presidential debate about the Federal Reserve and that kind of thing. You know, if it's one thing to me if the Federal Reserve wants to know what people are saying about it. It's another thing with what are they going to do with that information and are they going to have some kind of reprisals? I kind of, you know, after seeing this this other website that was the president's campaign where if you see somebody saying something that's incorrect about the president, report it to our website and tell us where you heard it so we can set them straight. This is disturbing stuff.
They're sending Tony to the front door.
Right.
Yeah.
These are, in one case you have the President of the United States who's campaigning in one hand, but the second, on the other hand, he is the highest member, you know, the highest, you know, the most powerful man in the free world, essentially. And then in the other case, you have this quasi-governmental agency, which is the Federal Reserve, that is extraordinarily powerful. I mean, if you consider it the power that they have inside of organizations like the IMF and the World Bank and things like that, you might call the Federal Reserve the most powerful organization on the planet. You might. And the idea that that's, you know, because I've put the Federal Reserve as a bunch of crooks on my Facebook page, that they're going to get alerted to that. Mm-hmm. What are they going to do with that information? I mean, there's a scary aspect to this.
It goes in your FBI file, Mark.
Right.
Probably does.
If I don't have an FBI file now, I've been doing something wrong.
Right.
But what's important to note about this is that the Federal Reserve Bank of New York does not intend to build a completely new platform. Their intention is to establish a relationship with an existing market leader, i.e. Facebook, etc., likely one of the information mining and gathering platforms already in existence, such as a large search engine, with whom they can then integrate their systems. The key point is that the technology for what the Federal Reserve
is looking
for already exists.
If the Federal Reserve hooks up with the government, which is certainly not an amazing thing to imagine, and then the government says to Facebook or whatever big website out there, look, you're going to work hand in hand with our organization.
I'm pretty sure they already have, actually.
I wouldn't doubt it at all.
It sounds like maybe they're just going to be a new customer of the data mining operations of Google and Facebook and Twitter, because that's what these organizations do. Why do you think it's free to join Facebook? Why do you think it's free to get a Gmail account?
Yeah, it's free because you're the product.
Why do you think it's free to do Google searches?
They're gonna advertise to you.
There's data mining out the wazoo in these operations. It's really if you think about the technology involved here, they can monitor the pulse of society, you know, moment by moment if they want to.
The more you segment a population, the more valuable they are. So, for instance, if you're just looking at males, they're not that expensive. If you're looking for males between the ages of 25 and 54, they bump up a little bit. If you're looking for males between the ages of 25 and 54 who have an interest in, say, liberty politics, you know, it gets a little more expensive as you go. And as you add every new criteria upon these folks, you can sell the same people at a higher price. And this is obviously what any advertising venue, ad venue is what it's called, whether it's Google, your newspaper, or Free Talk Live. All of these are ad venues. I mean, the reality of Free Talk Live is that we do this. We talk during the breaks between the commercials so that you'll sit around and listen to the commercials. I mean, that's how this works. I mean, I suppose there's other radio shows that might do, I know that NPR does basically a subscription model, but they have advertisers too in the form of underwriters. And, you know, essentially when you're talking about radio, you're reaching a large audience, and the per person tends to be rather inexpensive. But if somebody's going on the internet and they're looking for Inside the Eggshell Egg Scramblers, you want to, and you have are an Inside the Eggshell Egg Scrambler manufacturer, you need to get a hold of that person, and you're willing to pay significantly more. Your competition is too, so you're bidding them, you know, they're bidding back and forth, and this makes for a situation where, you know, obviously these ad venues are going to want to find as much information as possible about somebody.
Well, the question that comes up for me, privacy and security are very important to me personally. And it didn't sound from the sounds of the article whether you're the guise of Facebook privacy, which changes on almost a daily basis, especially recently. Especially if you don't know what you're doing, and you, it would sound to me that they don't even need to get into cahoots with Facebook or Twitter. If you don't know what your privacy settings are, your stuff is open and out there for anyone to review.
I've got to admit that I don't know that much about the privacy settings. Generally, if I don't want Facebook or Twitter to have information, I won't give it to them.
And that's the brightest thing to do.
But, no. There's a lot of stuff that, I mean, I put information that other people won't put on there just because I want to be contactable by advertisers and things like that. So, you kind of play this game with social media. You know, how far do you want to be out? How far do you want to network? How much privacy do you want to have? And it makes it very interesting. 855-450-FREE. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line here on Free Talk Live.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein. All other whey protein powders are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein powder ever produced. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's oneworldwhey.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste. increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for quick action. Listen to what the revolutionary MDS Forte can do for you. MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte at bestbloodsupport.com or call 213-405-5355. Call 213-405-5355 or go to bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-453. It's a single toll-free call in line. 855-450-3733. We might be able to squeeze you in the last few minutes here of Free Talk Live. It's Mark with you.
Nemi.
And Wayne.
Nemi, by the way, thank you for being on the show this evening, and I'm going to invite you back next week. I think you've done a fine job.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Rounded things
really
out. And also, I'd like to tell people about the AMP program. For just $3 a month, you can join Free Talk Live's subscription program. There's a few benefits, including a commercial-free podcast for amplifiers. It's amp.freetalklive.com. But most importantly, it's about supporting the message of liberty. Free Talk Live delivers to people on 110 radio stations across the country, two XM channels. We're, you know, reach far and wide, and you can support, frankly, I think, one of the best ways to spread the ideas of liberty, Free Talk Live, and you can do it for $3 a month. It's amp.freetalklive.com. So, out of San Francisco, go figure, there's a story about apparently some people are testing the limits on public nudism. It's from the rawstory.com. No shirt, no shoes, no service. It's a sign you might see in lots of U.S. stores. And San Francisco restaurateurs might have to add no pants to the list as a row of flares over nudism in the vibrant heart of the city's gay community. And on a sunny day in September, Woody Miller strolls through the district known as Castro. This is Castro really is ground zero for the gay bomb, and frankly, in the entire West Coast. He's tall and fit with a long gray beard and heavy silver nose ring and wearing nothing more than sneakers, a baseball cap, and a watch.
Oh, right.
I go naked on a nice day because I feel like I like the feel of the sun and the air on my skin, says Miller, 55,
who's all of his skin.
One of the city's growing number of public nudists. Probably known as, popularly known as naked guys. There's nothing, and by the way, you're not hearing a lot of naked gals. You know, just not.
Well, I don't know. We were talking during the break about this, and I would be probably more inclined to go naked in San Fran than I would be over in, say, Brattleboro, Vermont, where there's the tendency for snow.
Yeah, the Brattleboro, Vermont did have the an issue going on with this a couple of years ago. They had really no law against being naked downtown, and some people were doing it. And not surprisingly,
they fixed
more
that.
They did. Temporarily. I don't know if they fixed it permanently. I'm not 100% sure.
No, I think they instituted the city ordinance banning it from downtown.
Okay.
For the duration of the summer and then repealed it for winter because, I mean, who in their right mind? Right.
Well, that's not going to be a problem. Who would want to slip on ice and fall naked?
Yeah. Who would want to be outside in
New
England?
So, there's always somebody.
January.
But it never got picked back up again, if I remember correctly.
But also, it was largely, and the incident there was, and this is how these things go. It went from people hanging out naked, which is like, that's weird, but okay, to somebody decided to bring a beatbox or a boombox downtown and dance in a suggestive manner naked.
Yeah.
And so there you go.
See, that gets the locals all riled up.
Well, there's so many ex-hippies in Brattleboro. I'm just surprised they'd be so puritanical.
Well, that's just what happened, and you know, at some point or another, you're going to cross the line for just about everybody. If it isn't dancing in a suggestive manner, buck naked in the middle of town square, then it's copulating in the middle of town square. I mean, whatever. I mean, there's always one next
bathing
step.
Bathing in the town fountain.
Right, just taking a little bath right there. There's always some step or another, and you know that, and they found it there in Brattleboro. But I think you're right, Sarah, that it has not, that it isn't, you know, that it hasn't been a problem since then.
Right.
And it was largely males again. I don't, you know, I'm not going to go out and, I don't know, why is it males that want to go naked and not females? You got me. So, there's nothing obscene about the human body, says Miller. The belief is that there's something that's taught. The belief is something that's taught. It's just another form of prejudice. Home to the gay rights movement of the 60s and 70s, the Castro, where sex shops coexist with trendy cafes and bars, is still one of the most free-thinking neighborhoods in this famously liberal city. But even in Castro, there are limits, said Scott Wiener, a 14-year resident of the neighborhood. Thank you. Thank you, God, for a man named Wiener in this story.
Yes.
Resident of the neighborhood that is a newly elected Democratic member of the San Francisco City Council. He's proposing legislation that require nudists in San Francisco to cover public benches or seats before sitting down on them. He's not saying you've got to wear pants. He's just saying you have to bring a towel with you when you sit down on a bench. To me, I suppose I can understand to some extent where he's coming from. It's not asking a lot. Mm-hmm. And apparently they'd have to cover themselves altogether before entering a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Violators would be fined $100 for the first offense, $200 for the second, and $1,000 or more, plus a year in jail for a third time around. Castro is ground zero when it comes to public nudity, and particularly Jane Warner Plaza, an enclosed seating area at the throbbing intersection.
Throbbing, huh?
Thank you, thank you.
You picked up you.
Intersection of Castro and Market Streets, the counselor said. In the last few years, it's become more obnoxious and in your face. They hang out and pick up a lot of the seats there and sit down without covering. It's unsanitary.
Probably is in some cases.
What's that?
You've got microscopic fecal matter on there, you know.
It's
not clean.
It's hard to get entirely clean, right? Mm-hmm. You know? Miller thinks Wiener's initiative is unnecessary. Putting something down before you sit down? I think that's common etiquette, he said. You don't need to legislate that. It's right here in the nudist handbook. You don't go anywhere without your towel.
Of course, there's a nudist handbook.
I don't even.
I bet it's available for free on the internet.
I hope it is. It's good stuff, though. The idea. I mean, if somebody's going to follow the nudist handbook, then somebody's not going to follow it. Mm. California state law prohibits exposing one's genitals with lewd intent. But the way the law is applied in San Francisco, so long as no one is obviously aroused, what's lewd in the eye of the beholder? Members of the public can perform a citizen's arrest, but police won't arrest nudists absent a complaint. Miller's disdain for Wiener's proposal is shared by another Castro nudist, a writer and businessman George Davis, 65, who in 2007 ran for mayor on a platform of making clothing optional in Golden Gate Park. Well, that'll get you some
voters. Of course he did.
Thank goodness.
Of course he did.
It's an irrational fear, he said, wearing a hat, sunglasses, and a mobile phone on his hip. That's it.
Wait a minute. That's not naked.
Referring to worries about nudism and public health. You ought to be more afraid if I cough on you than sit where I sat. There's an argument to be had for that, too. Wiener's bill would also ban restaurants from serving naked patrons, an idea that Michael England, a server at Orphan Andy's, a 24-hour diner in the Castro, thought rather redundant. Orphan Andy's already has a dress code typical right across the United States that requires diners to wear shirts and shoes and pants, too, I suppose. But Davis pointed out that other restaurants do serve naked diners. I don't know why they want to burden restaurateurs with a whole other level of bureaucracy. It just seems to be a little bit too micromanaging. And this is where I have to say I agree. I don't like, you know, I'm bothered by the idea of people wandering around naked. It bugs me. But,
are you afraid you'll be aroused?
No, that's not it. For me, there's certain levels of decorum, and that stretches beyond it. I suppose it might be interesting to see, but if a restaurateur wants to let people dine naked in their business, that's their business.
It'd be a hell of a promotional video.
I suppose it would. You know, it's one thing public. When you're talking about public property, you're talking about everybody's wants, needs, and desires, when it comes down to that stuff. When you're talking about private property, as far as I'm concerned, a business owner should, if you want to take your clothes off at a business and sit around naked, a business officer, owner doesn't have a problem with that, then that's the business between the two of you. I think that that's absolutely what someone's choice here is. So, essentially, it just goes on to talk about the different size wieners on one side and
he's just in denial
on others.
He's just in denial of his wienerness.
So, does this wiener guy have his own Twitter account?
I don't know. he's running for office. So, you know,
another wiener in office.
Apparently, the folks at Hot Cookie Bakery is my intuition. The Dan Glazer there says. My intuition is, it's almost a joke. My intuition is that it helps businesses, he says. We have no problem with naked people at Hot Cookie. We sell cookies in the shape of penises.
I'll bet they do.
Of course they do.
So,
and boobies, too.
There you go.
Public do they sell cakes?
Cakes? I don't know. I mean,
up on Google.
Hot Cookie Bakery.
Cookies and a penis cookie.
There you go.
You can catch us in the meantime at freetalklive.com. Download the programs. We'll be live 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 days a week.
You know the U.S. dollar is devaluing. You can see it happening every day. You know a new currency will take over at some point. Wouldn't you like to be in on the ground floor? Bitcoins. They're a decentralized, anonymous internet currency. They're free to use, free to accept, and free from inflation forever. You can use them anywhere in the world, and their value seems only to be increasing. Find out more at weusecoins.org. Don't be kicking yourself in the pants in a month. Your dollars are going down. Bitcoins are going up. Weusecoins.org.
As a smoker, you know traditional cigarettes are unhealthy, and the taxes be the very beast stealing your freedom to smoke. That's why the Vapor Station offers an assortment of electronic cigarette kits. Each rechargeable, refillable kit is an effective, affordable alternative to smoking. No combustion, no tar, no foul lingering odors, and no smoke, secondhand or otherwise. Just inhale pure enjoyment and exhale vapor. Take a puff just about anywhere without getting hassled. Get your e-cigarette kit now at VaporStation.com.